Father, we thank you for the retreat. Thank you for what has been done. Thank you for the blessings you have given us. Our prayer and our desire is that all these blessings will be permanent in Jesus' name. We're praying, O Lord, that you speak to our hearts now so that you tell us what to do so that these blessings will remain, not evaporate away from our lives in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we pray. We praise the name of the Lord for the great things he has done and for blessing us in such a mighty way during the retreat. We need to learn from the word of God how to keep the blessing of the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, the last verse there. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You know that Peter himself was coming to the end of his life. And he had been teaching the brethren, he had been teaching the church. And as he comes to the last part of his life, in ministering to them, he had just one thing to tell them in this last verse that he ever wrote, ever penned to them. He knew that they had received the grace of God and he wanted them to grow in that grace of the Lord. And he also wanted them to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You cannot grow in grace if you have not entered into that grace. The first work of grace, which is salvation, must have been done in your life. It is when we are in grace, we grow in grace. If we are not in grace, if we have not been born again, if we have not given our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, if we only came and we saw everything and we appear to have even enjoyed the program, but we have not repented of our sins, we have not given our lives to the Lord, we have not come into the grace of the Lord, we cannot grow in the grace except we enter into that grace. And then it says, you'll grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, except we have the initial preliminary knowledge of the Lord as our Savior. We have given our lives to him. We have the knowledge. He is mine. I am his. I'm a child of God. I'm washed by the blood of the Lamb. He is my Savior, my Redeemer. It is that knowledge, practical knowledge, intimate knowledge, experiential knowledge, something you have tasted, you'll be able to grow in. You know that if you cut a tree down, that tree will never be able to grow because it doesn't have any attachment to the soil. And if you are cut off from the Lord, there is no way you can grow. You can only grow when you have intimate relationship with the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, it's very clear there. You become a child of God. My son in the faith. By faith in the Lord, you have become a child of God. It says to them that believe on him, that received him, he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to those that believe on his name. And it is after you have got that experience, you are now a child of God, and you can be referred to as my son or my daughter in the Lord. You can be strong in the grace of the Lord. When you are strong in the grace of God, it's the grace of God that actually helps you to live the life that a child of God ought to live. In Titus chapter 2, reading from verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Do you see the evidence of the grace of God? It says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. And when that grace is there, the grace of God will teach you. The grace of God will instruct you. And the grace of God will empower you that you will deny ungodliness. Ungodliness goes on in the society. But when you have the grace of God, you'll go back to that same society and you will live a righteous life. And to deny worldly desires. worldly ambition, worldly aspiration, worldly laws. You go back to the world over there, you will be different. You will not be like them. When the grace of God has come to you, you will not dress like them. You will not talk like them. You will not act like them. You will not drink what they are drinking. You will not smoke what they are smoking. You will not carry on your life as they are carrying on their lives. That is the evidence of the grace of God. You will deny all ungodliness and worldly lusts, and you will live soberly. There will be sobriety, not frivolity. You find a lot of people today, you even find them in those so-called Christian assemblies. There is so much of frivolity. There is so much of jesting. There is so much of evil things that should not be spoken about among the children of God. When the grace of God is there, you live soberly. You live righteously. And you will live godly, not when you get to heaven, in this present world. That's why, if you're going to keep the blessing of the Lord in your life, there's only one thing we're telling you. You'll be strong in the grace of God. You will grow in the grace of God. The knowledge of the Lord. Everything you have learned here, the Lord has worked it in your life. And then you will go back home and you'll work it out. There are 3 points we're talking about. Number one, fellowship with Christ and true Christians. Fellowship with Christ and true Christians. Number two, famine within the company of the Christless. And then number three, flourishing with Christ-like conviction and compassion. Number one, remember, you want to keep the blessing of the Lord. How are you going to keep the blessing of the Lord? Very clearly in the Word of God, you need fellowship with Christ. And then with that fellowship with Christ, there will be fellowship with true Christians as well. In 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, what we have seen, the salvation of the Lord. What we have heard, the holiness and nature of the Lord. What we have seen and heard. What we have learned ourselves, what we have experienced ourselves, we have not hidden anything away from you. We have shown you the Word of God, we have shown you the Bible, we have shown you the doctrines, the teachings of the Word of God. All those things we have seen and heard, we declare unto you. Why? That you may have fellowship with us. If you are not born again, you don't have fellowship with us. If you have not received what you have heard, and if you are not having it worked out in your life, you may attend Deeper Life, but really you don't have fellowship with us. You are not part of us. The people that are part of the Church of the Living God, they are the people that have heard. They are the people that have received. They are the people that have got the grace of God in their lives, and their lives at home, their lives with their neighbors, they show that the grace of God, they show that the knowledge of the Lord as Savior is really in them. They show that they have experienced the salvation of the Lord. They are members of the body of Christ. If you are not born again, if you have not stopped doing all those things they are doing in the world, please say, my friend, you are even destroying the church. You are telling the people out there, I'm a member of Deeper Life. They see you smoking. What impression do you think they are going to have about us when they see a smoker, when they see a drunkard, when they see a polygamist, when they see an idol worshipper, and he says, I'm one of them. You are telling a lie. You are not one of us. It says, if you are going to have fellowship with us, you must then accept, and you must receive, and you must experience what we have experienced. And then it says truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what the Lord is expecting. That if you are a child of God, that if you have really known the Lord, there will be a remarkable change in your life and everything will be totally different. You'll be like a branch in the vine. In John chapter 15, John chapter 15, reading from verse 1. Here are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's talking about fellowship with Himself and fellowship with the children of God. I am the true vine in verse 1, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. You know what He's looking for? He's looking for fruit. He's looking for the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the fidelity and the faith and the self-control and the temperance and the goodness. He's looking for those who say they know the Lord, those who say they are children of God, and you are a branch in the vine. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, if the fruit of the Christian life is not there, the fruit of repentance is not there, he taketh away. It's not even the devil that will take him away. It is the Lord himself that will look for your life and inspect your life and examine your life. And if there is no evidence of being born again, if you are not a child of God, he taketh away every branch that beareth fruit. He purges it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you know, that's the very purpose of the word. Jesus said to his own disciples, he said, you are clean. The purpose of preaching is not entertainment. The purpose of preaching is not just to excite you, make you happy, make you enticed. No, not at all. It is to make you clean. If there was any dirt there, if there was any pollution there, if there was any sin there, if there was any shortcoming there, the word of God will come to you. And that word of God, if you allow that word of God to do something, it will cleanse it, since you are clean. Through the word which has spoken unto you, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Obedience to the word of God has not ended. You will abide in the Lord, and the word of the Lord will abide in you. Because except you abide in him, you cannot bear fruit. In verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. That's why you wake up in the morning, you check up, is Christ still there? And is the fruit of righteousness still there? The fruit of the Spirit is still there? Am I still abiding in Christ? Is still abiding in me? It's when you're abiding in him, and he is abiding in you, you continue to bear fruit. What if you don't bear fruit? What if you say, now I'm born again, I'm a child of God, during that retreat a change happened in my life, and then you go back there into the world, you go back there in your neighborhood, and you don't abide anymore, and you throw the Bible away, and you throw the doctrines away, and you are no more living according to the word of God. You say, that was for retreat time. Look at verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. Be not surprised, a person can attend retreat and still spend eternity in hellfire. Be not surprised, a person can eat with us, a person can hear all these words and hear all these messages, if he does not abide in the word of God, if he counted the church as a club, if he counted the church as a social gathering, if he counted it as a good place to be during these holiday times, if he does not obey the word of God, no matter who he is, because you know God is no respecter of persons, if a man will not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. When you are not attached to the vine, you are not attached to the stem, you are not attached to the Lord, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and they cast them into the fire and they are burned. That's why my prayer for you is that you'll abide in Christ. I said you'll abide in Christ. Now you understand why I'm talking the way I'm talking. Which pastor will be very happy to gather thousands of people together, and we sing together, and we read the Bible together, and then we go out there and they see people fighting, and then they say, pastor, come and look at one of your people. They all want to break one another's head. They will not listen to anybody. Maybe if you come to talk to them, they will stop fighting. Which kind of pastor will be happy to labor all his life and to preach all he can preach, and then they are not abiding in Christ? And then I get over there expecting to see a crowd, and I see 10 or 12 or 13 people. And the rest of the people, they didn't abide. The rest of the people, they didn't really obey the word of God, and they don't get there. That's why I'm talking to you like this, because I want you to get there, and I pray you get there in Jesus' name. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. What words? The word of repentance. The word of restitution. The word of holiness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see the Lord. If my words abide in you. The word of love. That you love one another. Hereby shall they know that ye are my disciples. If ye love one another. What word? The word of one man, one wife. Because they said the two, not the three. One man, one wife. They shall be joined together, and what God has joined together, let no man put them asunder. What word? The word of self-denial, the word of bearing the cross, the word of enduring unto the very end. He that abides and endures to the end, the same shall be saved. If that word abides in you, if you remember it every time, if you stand upon it every time, if you will not play with the word of God or compromise with the word of God, if you don't make it just a club, you know you have come, and you know you have the Lord Jesus Christ. If those words abide in you, then ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. You are only the disciple of the Lord if you are bearing much fruit, as the Father has loved me, even so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. How are you going to be able to do that? You are going to be able to do that if you continue to pray, if you continue to seek the Lord, if you continue to take in and let it be established in you, all that you got during this retreat. In Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 31. Isaiah chapter 40, reading from verse 31. Here we're told, from the word of the Lord, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You'll be walking by faith. You'll be walking in the way of righteousness. You'll be walking in the good old way. Because that's what the prophet said. He said, stand in the way and see. And ask, where is the old path? And where is the good way? And walk therein. And only then will you find rest for your soul. Don't get into these modernized things. Get into all these modern kind of worship that doesn't have any obedience to the word of God. You will pray. You will seek the face of the Lord. And while you are doing that, you'll then be going stronger and stronger every time. In Job chapter 17. Job chapter 17. Reading from verse 9. Here we find the characteristic of a person that really wants to abide in the Lord. The characteristics of a person that wants to have fellowship with Christ and with the people of God. Job 17 verse 9. It says very clearly in this word of God, what the righteous person will have to do, the righteous also shall hold on his way. And he that has clean hands shall be stronger and stronger. Number one, you hold on to what you have. Temptation will come. Persecution will come. Opposition will come. The people that don't want the word of God, they don't want to get to heaven. They don't just want to be in religion. They will oppose you and they will contradict you. And it will appear that, can I stand? If you want to get to heaven on the final day, you will hold on to what you have got and you will not let any persecutor, anybody take it away from you. And if you'll be faithful to the very end, I believe that on that final day, I will see you on the other side in Jesus' name. The Lord wants to take you there, and I believe you'll be there in Jesus' name. But remember, you need fellowship with the people of God. Remember, you need fellowship with the Lord himself. You'll be reading the word of God. You'll be studying the word of God. Not only reading, every time you read, you ask yourself, what commandment is the Lord giving me here? And dutifully, with all your heart, with all your soul, like a serious believer, having a purpose for believing, you'll be obeying the word of God. It's only then we'll be able to meet on the other side. Actually, it's the purpose of the Lord when he took you from the world to get you into the kingdom. Just like it was the purpose of the Lord when he took the children of Israel out of Egypt to get them into the land of Canaan. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 23. Look at the purpose of the Lord. It says, and he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in. Do you see those two words? Out, in. He brought us out, out of the world, out of Egypt. He had only one purpose in mind. He brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, out of Egypt, into the land of promise, to give us the land which is swear unto our fathers. But maybe you know the story of the children of Israel. Do you know that out of 600,000 of the men that came out of the land of Egypt, only two out of 600,000, only two got to the land of Canaan? The rest of the people that got to the land of Canaan, they were the teenagers, they were the young people, they were the children that came out of them. But 600,000 men, men that were married, men that were adults, the men that saw those miracles in the land of Egypt, only two of them, Joshua and Caleb, got to the land of Canaan. And yet, it was the purpose of the Lord when he brought them out to take them in. And it's still the same today. He has brought you out of the world. He wants to take you in to the land of promise. But if you will not obey the word of God, if you will be like the prodigal son that went into the far country and live like they're living there. When you are in Rome, you do as the Romans do. When you are with the drunkards, you do as the drunkards do. When you are with the smokers, you do as the smokers do. When you are with the polygamists, you marry many wives as the polygamists do. If you do that, like the prodigal son, you will come to a spiritual famine. You will pass through the wilderness. In fact, if you are not careful, you may not be able to come back into the kingdom again. I need to warn you, because the word of God has warned. Do you remember Samson? He had the power of God. Do you remember Solomon? He had the wisdom of God. Do you remember Judas Iscariot? He had the conversion that you have got to you. He repented to you. He was sent out even to preach the word. And yet, they all came into a period of spiritual famine. That leads me to point number two. Famine or the company of the Christless. In Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, here we see the account of that prodigal son. In Luke chapter 15, from verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. That's why you find some people, they get saved, so to say. I don't know whether it's real salvation, but they get saved, so to say. Every retreat, they come in now. They say they are born again. They say they raised up their hands and check them up. Next week, they are back into the world again. They are worse than before they came. And then when there is another retreat, they come back and they'll be the people rushing forward again. I want to be born again. What happened to the born again that you professed the other time that you came? What happened to the experience you said you got the other time when you come? It's like, you know, you don't want that. You don't want a kind of experience like that. It's like a mother. She gets pregnant now. She delivers. After 1 week, the child is dead. And then the other time we pray again. And then she delivers another child, and the child is dead. And year after year, she is getting pregnant, and she is delivering babies, but the babies are dying every year. Now, no mother will be happy like that. The same thing, we who are here, and we're spending our time, and we're spending money, and we're spending everything to bring people together. And then you say, I am born again. After 1 week, you are dead. And then you come back the following retreat, I'm born again now. After 1 month, you are dead again. We don't want that kind of thing. And I'm praying that that kind of falling and rising will stop in our midst from now on, in Jesus' name. But you know, there are people that are just like that, and they get into that spiritual famine, and they do not have genuine experience, an abiding experience, a Christian experience, a person that comes into Christ and he lives in Christ and he lives according to the word of God. Will you take up the challenge that by the grace of God you will not get into spiritual famine, that the experience you have got at this time, it will remain, it will abide with you in Jesus' name. We're looking at Hosea chapter 6, reading from verse 4. Hosea chapter 6, verse 4. O Ephraim, what shall I do unto thee? O Judah, what shall I do unto thee? For your goodness is as the morning cloud, and as the early dew, it goeth away. You see, that was the experience of those people. Their goodness, or the fruit they said they had, or the evidence of knowing the Lord they said they had, once there's a little temptation, a little persecution, a little problem, everything vanishes away. In chapter 7, verse 8, Ephraim, he has mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. The problem is, many people, they do not cut away, they do not cut off from the people that are in the world. They remain there with the people of the world, and they do all those things that are evil, and because of that, the thing they said they got, they cannot keep that thing anymore. In verse 9, strangers have devoured a strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hair lie here and there, and upon him, yet he knoweth it not. I'm praying that this time you will settle the problem once and for all and permanently in Jesus' name, so that your life will be totally different. We will know who is a Christian, and we will know who actually experienced the power of God, the salvation of the Lord in their lives. In Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Mark 4, 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You know why some people enter into spiritual famine? Why some people do not continue in the way of the Lord? While the salvation they said they profess, they do not have it anymore. The cares of this life. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Since I made restitution, there is no man caring for me anymore, and I need to care for myself now. And because of that, they get involved with other men and get involved in things that will ruin their spiritual life. And since I lost my job, I need to now set up a business. And in setting up the business, they get involved in things that ruin their Christian life. Or because I cannot get job, I'm going to be a private bank for people. We'll be getting money from people, thousands of naira from people. And while we're doing that, then we'll be giving them at an interest later. And then they collect a lot of money they cannot pay back again. And then in trying to look for money to pay for the people they have got the money from, they get into quite a lot of things. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. So they become businessmen. They begin to travel here and there, and before you know what, they're in the hotel and they're already committing immorality with prostitutes. The cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. The business now is in the world. The business, the real thing now, if you go here, go there, you'll get money quite in a good time. The deceitfulness of riches and the loss for other things, other things that were not there when you came to know the Lord. And then you begin to hear, you know, this one is backsliding, this one is gone. When they enter in, they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. I pray you will avoid all these things. And this will not ruin you in Jesus' name. In second, in Songs of Solomon, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. You know, it shocks you when you find people who say they are Christians and there's a little disobedience and they say that one doesn't matter, it's a little fault, and there is a little tendency towards immorality and they say, well, that doesn't matter. Do more than that. other gospel churches. Well, they may do more than that. Those people are not born again. They don't have Bible experiences. If you say you have the Christian experience and you are a child of God, take us the foxes, even the little foxes that spoil the vine. You will not allow a little rebellion, a little disobedience, a little sin, a little immorality, any appearance of evil. You throw them away. You say bye-bye completely and permanently unto them. That's how you'll be able to keep your experience and you'll flourish in Jesus' name. That leads me to point number three. Number one is fellowship with Christ and with true Christians. You make up your mind that you're going to fellowship with the people that know the Lord and the people who are following the way of the Lord. Indirectly, I'm telling you, and let me tell you directly, find a church deeper life. If you know that where you have been going, they are not teaching the totality of the word of God. They are not teaching the word of God that will help you to get into the kingdom. We're not interested in membership. We're not interested in having multitudes coming to deeper life. All I'm interested in is that you will be in a place where you will hear the word of God, and from that place, you'll be able to get to heaven. You know how long you have been in that other place? How long you have been in that other church? And you are not hearing the word? And you are just falling and rising? Now you have heard the word of God. If you really mean business with the Lord, you are an adult. You are going to make it. And you are going to say, I don't worry about the name of the church. I don't worry about the title of the church. I don't worry about what they do or what they don't do. What I'm worried about is, God, I'm here in there. Will he take me to heaven? That's our joy. If you are here and we preach the word of God to you and you stand by that word of God and you get to heaven eventually, that will be all right. But if you stay in a church and just say, this is my church, this is my church, and you will not stand by the word of God there, they will not teach you the totality of the word of God there, you want to make restitution, they will not encourage you. You want to make right your life, they will not encourage you. They do not stand on the word of God. And you want to stand on the word of God. You will fellowship with the people that will preach the word to you and take you to heaven. That's all our interest. It's not the crowd in the church. It's not the membership of deeper life that doesn't interest me or interest anybody. It's not the crowd that comes to the retreat. We may be millions here. The question is, it's not the millions that are here or thousands that are here. How many will get to heaven? How many are we going to see on that final day? How many will cross that final river and get to the land of promise? That's the important thing. Don't be counted just with the membership and the number of a physical church, but be counted with the people that will get to heaven on the final day. That's why I'm telling you, come to the Monday Bible study and come to the revival hour and come to the Sunday fellowship. Come and get something. Even if you say, I'm not a member of Deep Life, that doesn't matter. Come there. Hear the word of God that you know that you are preparing to get to heaven. And when you get there, I'm sure you'll see me there, and then you will say, thank you, Pastor, you told me the right thing. I didn't like it when you told me. In fact, I didn't buy the cassette. I hated what you were saying, but eventually the Spirit of God spoke to me, and here I am now. Wouldn't it be wonderful when we get to the other side? And if that is the case, the original interest you had, the original desire you had, the original excitement you had, the original conviction and the original consecration you had in the word of the Lord. No matter how many years you have kept in the church, you remain in that conviction so that the word of God will be true about you. You are planted in the court of the Lord. And even till old age, you will still be bringing forth fruit and you will show interest in the word of God. And I want to call upon some of you that have been here now, and you've been here for 5 years, you've been here for 10 years. When you first came, what kept you in this church? What made you to want to stay? What made you to enjoy what we were doing that time when we preached the word and it was straightforward and very hard? What made you to stay at that time? You wanted an experience of the Lord. How is it that now many of us were changed? Now you come, and as you come now, you don't worry about the word anymore. It's even like some of us are not even interested that the sinners that come, they are not to hear the word of God. You are changed. The original excitement is no more there. The original interest and desire is no more there. And the original conviction, consecration is no more there. Bury yourself in the word of God and say, no matter how they preach it and no matter how it comes forth, all I want is the word. Are you not backsliding? Are you not losing interest in the word of God? If you have spent 5 years or 10 years in the church and you have lost so much, if you spend the next 5 years, the next 10 years, you're going to lose everything. And I'm afraid for some of you, you may not make it to heaven. And that's going to really remind me, and that's going to really make me unhappy. And if they cry in heaven, that's going to make me cry. You know I cry a lot. I don't know there is anybody in this church that cries as much as I do. I cry at home, I cry on the pulpit, I cry every time. You say, why is this pastor so emotional? You'll be emotional like me if you saw the people you are laboring on, and you give your whole life, and you read every day, and you pray in the night, and you do everything, and you lavish everything on them, and you turn your back on the world, and you turn your back on your family, and you turn your back on everything, and then just to pour it out to the people. And then when you serve the food in the plate, they put the plate upside down, they throw the food away. You will cry if you were myself, cry if you were me. You are my son. And you saw people that are not interested in institution. They are not interested in holiness. They are not interested in righteousness. They are not interested in getting to heaven. And you see all the, if you see all the jewelry I see here, you will cry if you are myself. I know what I teach. I know what I believe. I know the word of God. And as you are coming in, when you come in, when you come through that gate, and you understand that you want transformation in your life, transfiguration in your life, you know what you are going to do? You are going to check up the word. What is it in the word? Why don't these people wear jewelry? Why don't these people palm? Why don't they wear slacks? You see that. You see how the some of the women are. And if you see all those things, when you come in, you'll be asking, why don't they do that? And then you go on your knees. Lord, give me what they have got. You say, Lord, I want to get ready for heaven. And you know, if you are not interested in the word, why are you there? Why did you come to waste your time? You know, all that we have here, there is no convenience here. It's only those who want to get to heaven that should be here. Am I right? Yes. So, if you really want to get to heaven, that's what we are telling you, till old age. Even when you grow older, take an example from me. I shouldn't be talking about myself, but take an example from me. I've been preaching this salvation now for more than 20 years, in fact, for more than 30 years. And when I come and preach salvation, I still preach it fresh, with action, and with excitement, and with burden in my heart. If I'm talking about holiness, I've been talking about that holiness for more than 30 years. I still talk about it with deep conviction. I don't change, even though there have been problems, and yet I remain as steadfast as I was in old age. I'm a little bit older than some of you now. I'm still moving on, and I'm still marching on. And even though there will be difficulties, and there will still be more difficulties, there will still be more persecution, I'm expecting there will still be more opposition for me. Yet, in all that opposition, my only prayer is that anytime I will stop preaching the word of God, let the Lord take me home before I stop. Anytime I will not be able to declare unto you, I have become afraid of you members of the church, the people I brought into the kingdom. I have become afraid of the people I brought into the kingdom, and then I will close my mouth. I will not be able to tell the truth, O Lord, if my converts will make me backslide. If the people that I brought into the kingdom will shut my mouth, I will not be able to tell the truth. Take me away, and then give them another person that will tell them stories. Give them another person that will deceive them. Give them another person that will not be able to take them to the kingdom. If they don't want to get to the kingdom, don't match me with you. Don't get me to your company. I want the people that want to stay in this church, and they want to stand by the word of God, and they are interested in the word of God, and you are committed to the word of God. And till old age, I know what they do outside. We know the kind of things they are doing outside there. We want the people that will stand on the word and say, until we become 70 or 80 or 100, whatever it is, we want to get to heaven. If you want to get to heaven, if that is your desire, can you rise up and talk to the Lord in prayer that you don't want to waste our time here? You don't want to waste our resources here. here, all that we're doing, you want to stand upon the word of God. You want to stand upon the word of God. If you want to stand upon the word of God, you'll commit yourself to the Lord. Don't waste our time here. Don't waste your life here too. Give yourself to the Lord and say, yes, Lord, even until old age, even until old age, even until old age, I still want to be standing upon the word of God. The doctrine doesn't change. The conviction doesn't change. The word doesn't change. The teaching doesn't change. The restitution has not changed. Addressing has not changed. The conviction of the Bible has not changed. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It has not changed. We don't marry like the world. We don't bury like the world. We don't do anything like the world. It has not changed. If you want to continue with the Lord, stay. If you don't want to continue with the Lord, you are free to move out. If you want to get to heaven, stay. If heaven is not your goal, you are free to find another church. If you want to serve the Lord, if you want the word exactly as it is, if you want the doctrine exactly as it is, if you want the life of the believer exactly as it is, if you want to keep on flourishing till old age, as we read it in the Bible, then you can stay. If you don't want it, why are you going to be wasting your time and coming over here? Why are you going to allow more judgment to come upon you if you don't want to really get to heaven? Our interest here is not for multitude. Our interest here is not just for grabbing crowd. We don't want churchianity, we want Christianity. We want the people that are serious on the word of God. And no matter the persecution, the opposition, the contradiction, we want the people that are standing and they keep on standing on the word of God. Make up your mind, you want to get to heaven. But if you don't want to get to heaven, don't hinder other people who want to get to heaven. Make a consecration of your life to the Lord. I still want to be flourishing till old age.